God's ability. It's the ability to do what we don't have the ability to do. It's more than just unmerited favor. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud. Say, he resists the proud. What does a proud person do? A proud person puts emphasis on me. I. P-R, capital I. My way. Mine. Well, God resists the proud. Who was the first proud subject? Satan. And what was his pride? He tried to exalt himself. So if you're trying to exalt yourself, you're going to find resistance from God. All right? But he didn't stop there. He said, but he gives grace to the humble. Say, to the humble. So, when you're humble, when you put your trust in God alone, that's what humility is. Not putting trust in yourself, but you're putting your trust in God alone, God's going to give you grace. But if you try to do it in your own strength, your own way, you're going to find resistance from God. But he'll give you grace to the humble. And then verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So we've got to come under his leadership, under his rule. Notice, who does the submitting? We do. Submit yourself. That doesn't mean I can submit someone else. No, you got to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. You can only resist the devil when you're submitted to God. If you're not submitted to God, the devil will be attracted to you. Because then you become a partner with him. And when you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I like that. So anytime that you mount resistance, the devil's not going to stick around. Now, he might be persistent for a while. You know, the magicians in Egypt could only do a certain amount of miracles that mimicked the miracles that God did, but eventually God's miracles ate up the devil's. And they said, this is the finger of God. They couldn't do anything else to mimic. So you've got to resist the devil. Say, I must resist the devil. You got to resist his thoughts. You got to resist his voice. You got to resist the pressure that he tries to apply on you. Because he will. And then he says this in verse 8, what is really where I want to focus on. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Did you know that we have a part to play? A lot of times, in the miracles that happen to us? Well, I thought it was up to God. Sometimes God will move sovereignly. But he doesn't do that all the time. Why doesn't he do it all the time? I don't know. Why don't you ask him? Too many times we wait for God to do something when he's waiting for us to do something. He said, draw near to God, and what? He'll draw near to you. Why does he say that? Because God already took the first step. He already came out of heaven. He came to earth. He showed us how to live. He died. He conquered the devil. He gave us his word, his Holy Spirit. What more does he have to do? Sometimes we want him to come and do it for us. But we need to take what he did and we need to put it to use. But we need to draw near to God. I want to focus on that drawing near. I want to talk to you tonight about drawing near to God. You know that God's not too far away? So sometimes drawing near to God just is simply us making a few adjustments. It's taking a step. it's turning and listening. But he's right there, and if we take the step, he'll meet us. This word, to draw near, it says, it means to make near, to approach, to be at hand, to come close. Did you notice that the closer you get to someone, the softer their voice becomes? Because when you're close to someone, they don't have to shout. But if you're far away, they might need to speak a little louder to get your attention. See, when you draw near to God, you're turning to the answer that's right at hand for every problem that you face. When you draw near, when you come close to God, he's right there. And simply, it's just making an adjustment in the way we think, in our actions that we take. Draw near to God. I didn't have another translation. But it means that you can address God directly. You know, when Peter was sitting in the boat, along with the other disciples, Jesus came walking on the water. What did he do? He said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come." What did Jesus do? He said, "Come." So whose responsibility was it to come? He already had an invitation. He knew that it was the Lord. He said, "Lord, if you bid me come, come." Jesus said, "Come." Why didn't Jesus just step close to the boat? Because sometimes he wants us to step out of our comfort zone. Draw near to him. See, drawing near to God will make your flesh uncomfortable. Your flesh will say, "I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it." Did you know how quickly feelings can change? If we live our lives according to our feelings, we might as well just live at the amusement park. Go up and down, all around, backwards and forwards. Your feelings will cause you to be sick. But you know, you can approach God. You have access to him. You have close communion with God. You can be a friend. Abraham and Moses were friends of God. God spoke to them like a man speaks to his friend. Moses made an effort every day to go out to a special place called the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. It's where he met with God every day. If you led 2 or 3 million people, you'd want to meet with God every day too. You talk about anybody that needs to draw near to God, more than half of those 2 to 3 million people were whiners and complainers. They never lived by faith. Moses spent 40 years with a bunch of babies that never grew up spiritually. And God would do a miracle one day, and they'd be all excited. The next day, they'd complain about the miracle that they just had. Go with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. I'm talking to you tonight about drawing near to God. He's only a heartbeat away. He's only a step away. He is close. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But if he's everywhere, how come I don't always benefit from him? Because he's waiting on you to draw to him, to draw near to him. It's called living by faith. It takes faith to draw near to God. You got to do it when you don't feel like it. Just seeing if you're awake. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. While you be with him. Notice, when is the Lord with you? You know, I forget where it is, but there was a time when someone was in a battle and they turned against God and God turned against them and fought against them. Guess what? You want to be on God's side. Amen. But here, he said, the Lord is with you while you be with him. Well, I thought the Lord never leaves you nor forsake you. Yeah, he never leaves you, but that doesn't mean you get to benefit from his power. If you want to benefit from God's power, you need to draw near to him. You need to submit yourself to God. You need to come to him. You need to make the adjustment. Listen, if something isn't working, it's not God's fault. He's perfect. He doesn't have to make any adjustments. Guess what? If something's not working, right here, we got to look at it. Maybe we have veered off the path. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. Notice, if is tells me it's not automatic. What happens when you seek God? You're going to find him. Matthew 7:7, I like to label it ASK. Ask and what? It shall be given to you. Seek and what? You shall find. Knock and what? The door shall be open. If you run up against a closed door, maybe you haven't knocked. What happens when you knock? What did that Bible say in Matthew 7:7? The door might be open, will be open. But you never know if it's open or not unless you knock. Sometimes you got to knock the door down. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For whosoever asks shall receive. Whoever seeks shall what? Find. Well, I don't know where God is. Look harder. Draw near to him. When you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But he's waiting for us to draw near to him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Jesus, a rich young ruler, came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, what do I need to do to get into heaven? Jesus said, obey the commandments, honor your parents. Woo! Yeah, I did that. So, but Jesus then gets to the heart of the matter. Give everything you have away, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Woo! Can't do that. I love my things more than I love God, so I'm not going to draw to you, I'm going to draw to my things. What happened to that rich young ruler in that moment? He walked away. Why didn't the Lord chase him? Because the Lord, in God's eyes, we're to draw near to him. He gives us an invitation. And if we want to respond, it's up to us. He won't make us respond. He gives us the right choice. He gives us everything we need, but it's up to us to draw near to him. And he will draw near to us. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Do you know how much God longs to be with you? Do you know what he went through to make that possible? the pain, the sorrow. Think about it for just a minute. Think about the length that Jesus went through to be with us. And he could have made robots. Hello, praise the Lord. But he didn't. He made people, and he longs to be with you. But if you don't want to be with him, he won't force his way in. But you'll be sorry if you don't draw near to him. Just a slight adjustment. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, or hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. You can't get any more simpler than that. Hear instruction and be wise, and don't refuse it. He said, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Watching for me, waiting at my doorposts. Sweet fellowship with God, drawing near to him, coming to where he is, coming into his presence. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, we can boldly, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. That's an invitation. Anybody who wants to come before the throne of grace can come and can obtain mercy. You've got to come to obtain the things that God promised in his word. You've got to come and possess what he said you can have. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Do you know that wisdom can be found? Understanding can be gotten? Where are you going to find it? Where are you going to get it? Gee, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. What am I supposed to do? You need to look for wisdom. You need to draw near to wisdom. You need to draw near to the Word. Find out what the Word says about your situation. Find out what God has already written in His Word about your situation. You can find wisdom. It's there for you. You've been given a wisdom mind. And anytime that you need wisdom, you can extract from the mind. It's already been dug out for you. You just got to go in and you got to get it. When you're hungry, what do? You sit in your house and you go, oh, I'm so hungry. Now, I know that I'm pretty sure that everybody here has food, right? You're not living on the street in a cardboard box somewhere. You don't know when your next meal is going to come from. If you are, come on over to my house and I'll feed you good. What do you do when you're hungry? You go to the refrigerator, you go to the cupboard, or you go to the restaurant, and you get what you need, and your hunger is satisfied. But so many times when we face troubles in life, we do not draw near to God. In other words, we draw near to other things. We got to draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. Come close to God, and He will come close to you. You got to know where to turn. All right? And you've got to come with boldness. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy. That's my favorite name to say in the Bible, Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 15. Here he's telling Israel, he said, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil." What's before you? Life and good, death and evil, right? Where is it? It's before you. It's at your fingertips. It's close to you. Okay? "In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply." How many know that God wants you to live and he wants you to multiply? You've been empowered to multiply, to make more of yourself than what there is. You can multiply. "And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away," there's a lot of things in this world that will make your heart turn away from the truth, "so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them." There's a bunch of people in the body of Christ that worship other things. That's why they're not multiplying. They're being drawn away. Verse 18 says, "I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish." See, when someone is worshiping other things, they turn in the wrong direction. They listened to other voices. They didn't draw near to God. They were drawn to something else other than God. "That you shall not prolong your days upon this land, whether you pass over to the Jordan and go to possess it." Verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live forever." Right? Or that you may live. "And that you may love the Lord your God," verse 20, "and that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave unto him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your swear unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." It's all about drawing near to him. Notice how close those choices are. They're before you. Life and good. Death and evil. And he gives it. He said, "I would that you choose life." He gives us the right answer, but the choice is ours. And what draws you? Does trouble draw you? Does fear draw you? How about gossip? Are you drawn into gossip? You know, we find the devil is an enticer. All he does, though, is make a new package. He packages things so it looks good, sounds good, feels good. But when you get into it, it's rotten. It's poison. It's a dead end. It's not going anywhere. And the devil works hard at drawing people away. But we have the power to draw near to God. We can draw near to him, and he'll draw near to us. When you're struggling, when you're facing challenges, just make an adjustment and draw near to him. You know, the Holy Spirit's already drawing us, because we can't come to the Father unless he draws us. He's already drawing us, so we might as well just carry it through. But see, you got to come to God with boldness. Say boldness. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, how about in worship? How much do you press in worship to get to God? Or are you affected by the music or this or that? Things come in to try to distract you. It's up to you to press in to worship. You ought to get so caught up in worship that you forget who's around you sometimes. There's times when I get so caught up, I just got to get on my face. And I don't care if I got my nicest clothes on or not. I don't care, because in worship, I want to press in and I want to get close to the Lord and I want to honor Him, because things happen in worship, but you've got to draw near. You've got to press in. And sometimes you got to go through some barriers. You got to go through some feelings. You got to reject what the devil's telling you. You got to reject what your body's telling you. Sometimes we got to offer a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. How much do you draw to Him in worship? Or, you know, anytime we do anything half-hearted for God, it's never going to turn out the way it should, because He requires our whole heart. You know, there was a time when David, he tried to bring in the presence of the ark with all the pomp and all the circumstance of man-made ways. And in the process of bringing in the presence of the Lord, which at that time was represented by the ark, they were bringing it on a cart. First of all, that's not even how it was supposed to be carried. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. But they were carrying it on a cart. They weren't even recognizing the presence of God, how it should be handled, how it should be treated. And the cart began to wobble and fall. Someone reached out his hand. No one was supposed to touch it. The person who touched it to try to keep it from falling died. You say, that's harsh. But you see, when we mishandle the presence of God, it's going to harm us. It's like trying to handle electricity and not knowing what you're doing. Going out in the lightning storm with a metal rod saying, here I am. You're going to end up with a new hairdo. See, David was trying to please man. See, drawing near to God is not about pleasing man. It's about pleasing God. It's about pleasing the Father's heart. It's about pressing in. We need to draw near to God. We need to press in. We need to get past the veil of the flesh sometimes. Then finally, David let the ark rest for a while. And he went and sought God. He went and prayed. Then he put on an ephod. And he was bringing the ark in the right way. And all of a sudden, something came over David. When he drew near to God, how did he draw near to God? He did it God's way. You know, part of drawing near to God is doing things God's way, not our way. Part of drawing near to God is laying our way down. Well, I did it that way for years. Yeah, but it's time to change. And when David did it God's way, he had such a freedom and a liberty that he began to jump up and spin about wildly. He made Mikhail Baryshnikov look like a little kid. And those that got offended at David were really resisting God. His wife, Michal, she got offended. She didn't think a king should be that way while she was barren for the rest of her life. See, part of drawing near to God is letting others express themselves to God. Who are we to dictate to how should someone respond to God? Oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do it this way. You shouldn't do it that way. Who are you? Who am I? Hey, if the Lord puts it on your heart, do it. See, part of drawing near to God too is being obedient when He speaks. When the Lord speaks and you don't do it, you're resisting Him. That's not drawing near to God. That's going away from God. We're supposed to resist the devil, not God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, says this: in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So how can you draw near to God? With boldness, you have access with confidence. Say, with confidence. You should not be intimidated to approach God at any time. Because in Him, we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith of Him. Faith. There ought to be a boldness about your faith that you can approach God and get what you need at any moment. He is your daddy. He knows your faults. He knows your good points. He knows your bad points. He knows every hair in your head, and He loves you anyway. And He doesn't look to your past. He looks to your future. And when you draw near to Him, you and Him can hook up and partner together and do great things. But you got to do it with Him, in Him, through Him. It's part of drawing near to Him. Psalm 145. You know, we're living in a day and an hour that we better know how to draw near to God. We better know how to come and get in His presence. We better know how to hear His voice. We better know how to be on His side. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near. Who's He near to? Unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. Woo! Drawing near to God is as simple as calling on Him. You run into trouble, what is your first response? Oh, there are giants in the land. Okay? But we are well able to take this land. Let's go in and take it. Do you know only two in Israel drew near to God? Only two got on God's side, and only two possessed. See, when you draw near to God, He empowers you to possess things. He gives you strength. Even though they saw the same things, they saw the same land, the same buildings, the same people, but yet they responded differently because they made a choice to draw near to God. How did they do that? They said what God said. See, drawing near to God, another way is to say what He said. Get into an agreement with God. When you get into agreement with God, things are going to happen. Verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. Part of drawing near to God is fearing Him, respecting Him, reverencing Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Verse 20, the Lord preserves all them that love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. Wicked means twisted, perverted. That's where they get the word wicker. Wickers, all twisted together. Someone who's wicked is never, they never drew near to God. Psalm 73, verse 28. Now, I like the New American Standard Bible for this verse. King James says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." The New American Standard said, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all His works." What does it take to put your trust in God? It takes an adjustment in how you think and in what you say. Is that a hard adjustment to make? No, but sometimes we just get so used to operating out of habit. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many in here have bad habits? I have some bad habits. Well, can you correct a bad habit? Absolutely. But it takes some time. It takes at least 30 days consecutively to change a habit. So let's just say, for example, if you take the next 30 days and the toughest thing that you deal with in life, find God's word, what it says about that subject, and start saying it two or three times a day for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, tell me what happens. See, it doesn't take long to draw near to God. He's got everything here, but we've got to access it. We've got to use it. We've got to, it's right here. When you're facing trouble, stop, drop, and pray. You know, when you get on fire, stop, drop, and roll. I'm saying stop, drop, and pray. Pray at all times. Pray everywhere. Be anxious for nothing. When you feel anxiety coming on, you better pray. You better pray through that anxiety. You don't want to draw near to anxiety or to fear. You know, the devil, he operates his kingdom on fear, intimidation. And he'll try to draw you into fear. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you feel yourself getting sucked in. At that moment, you need to draw near to God. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, devil. I'm going to resist you. I'm going to tell you to be quiet. I'm going to cast you out. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. What did the leper do? He came to him and he worshiped him. Did the leper draw near to him? Absolutely. What was the leper's problem? Leprosy. Should leprosy, in those days, were lepers allowed to just be out in the community mingling around? Hey, I'm a leper. Let's rub some shoulders. Did that leper care what people thought? He came to him anyway. And he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He needed to be clean. He was unclean. And Jesus put forth his hand. When you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That leper came and worshiped him. Jesus touched him. He says, I will be clean. Now that leper could have sat and had a pity party. He could have said, what was me? This leprosy? Oh, it's just so bad. I gotta tell you, this leprosy I have is just so bad. Oh, you have not heard how bad my leprosy is. I gotta tell you, it's so bad. But he chose to draw near. He came to him. He worshiped him. And he said, if you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. When you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. When you take a step of faith, he'll meet you. Oh, but it's so hard. It's so difficult. Step anyway. Because when you step, he'll be right there to meet you. When you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And the Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What compelled that leper to come near to him? He must have heard something. All right. Verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him, say came unto him, a centurion beseeching him, or begging him, saying, Lord, notice what he says first. He says first, Lord. He's not talking about the problem. He addresses the answer, Lord. My servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And before the centurion could even say what he wanted him to do, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. What caused Jesus to respond that way? Because the leper or the centurion drew near to him. The centurion was a Roman. The centurion was a soldier. He was over 100 men. He was a boss. He had people working for him. But he probably had money and influence. But yet, his servant was near death. He didn't know what else to do. He made the right decision. I've set before you life and death. Choose life. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only. You talk about humility. He doesn't put any emphasis on him being a soldier other than he understands authority. He submitted to God. Speak the word. I'll abide by whatever the word says. And Jesus said, I have not found so great faith in all Israel. And go down to verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. How was it done to the centurion? It was done as he believed. How come Jesus didn't set the terms of this healing? See, when you draw near to God, you get to set the terms. That doesn't mean you're telling Jesus what to do. It just simply means that you make yourself available. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. What did she do? In the touching of his clothes, she was made whole. Jesus didn't dictate that. It was her faith that did. See, so what I'm saying is, when you have a need in your life, look at who you go to first to get that need met. When you draw near to God, the Bible said he will draw near to you. Just come near to him. Get on his side. Come close to him. Fellowship with him. Worship him. Pray to him. Cry out to him. And he is right there. When Peter started to sink in the water, he cried out, help! Jesus was right there. He wasn't going to let him sink. So when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. But, and I just want to touch on this and then I'm going to close. But you got to be bold about your faith. When Abraham got news that his nephew was captured, what did he do? He sat around and watched TV. No. He immediately took action. He armed his 318 trained servants that were born in his house. He said, we're going to go get that stuff back. When Jonathan saw the Philistine garrison, I don't know how many soldiers are in a garrison. I don't know. But he had him and his armor bearer. And he said, we're going to take this garrison. And his armor bearer could have complained. He said, I don't know why. You're crazy, man. I'm not going with you. He said, okay. And Jonathan said, if they call out to us, we're going to take it. If they don't, you know, then we'll just let it go. And they called out. And Jonathan and his armor bearer took on the garrison. Their act of faith. See, by acting in faith, they drew near to God. See, their response to the problem. While the whole Israel army was paralyzed, when Goliath taunted them for 40 days, made fun of them, mocked them, told them that their mama had combat boots. I don't know, I'm just paraphrasing. But do you understand? The whole Israeli army was paralyzed by a giant shouting accusations. And David said, no, I'm getting on God's side. And he got in the giant's face when no one else was willing to. Because he drew near to God. And the giant said, you know, am I a dog? You should send a boy out to me with a stick. And he says, I come at you with the name of the Lord. Don't mess with me, pal. I'm on God's side. Did God meet David? Absolutely. He took that rock from his slingshot and planted it right in the forehead of Goliath, and he fell to the ground because David stepped out. He got on God's side. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't going to compromise. They were tempted to bow. Everybody else was doing it. It was law. Oh, I got to obey the law. I want to be a good citizen. Well, when the law contradicts God's law, you don't have to obey it. I don't care what the consequences are. Abortion is wrong. Gay marriage is wrong. Wrong. And we shouldn't be afraid to say so. Those three boys refused to bow when everybody else did. They got on God's side. And they were brought before the king, and they said, King, we're not careful to answer you. We're not going to bow. I don't care if you throw us in. I don't care if you don't. We're not going to bow. They got on God's side, and what happened? They drew near to God. God drew near to them into the fire. They were thrown into the fire, and Jesus went in with them. Because they took that step, they made that adjustment to draw near to God. So how does that apply to us? When you have a need in your life, the devil is going to apply pressure with that need. And it's going to be like a stranglehold. He's going to beat that need at you. He's going to try to get you into fear, worry, and doubt. But you just make an adjustment, and you get on God's side. You draw near to God. You submit yourself to him. You resist the devil, and he's going to flee. But it's a process of drawing near to God. And you've got to be bold about it. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil, don't be sorry for getting on God's side. Don't be sorry for standing up for what's right according to God's word. You don't have to apologize. Because when you do, God will back you up. So as a church, I want to see us draw near to God. This Sunday morning, I want us to see us press into worship like never before. It has nothing to do with the music, but it has something to do with our love for Jesus. And we need to press in. When things are going on in this life, we need to draw near to God. Let me tell you, there are things in this hour, there's an attack on this church and on the people of this church. And we took some time today to stand against it. But you know what? We got to continue to stand. We got to continue to get on God's side. Because as long as we stay submitted, we'll have the power to resist. So draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. If you're thirsty, Jesus said, come and drink. He said, if you're tired and weary, he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you got turmoil, he said, come to me and I'll give you peace. Because he's already done what he needs to do. So now it's up to us to possess what he's already done. And that's going to require some boldness, some gumption. You've got to put on your game face. Ugh. Amen? So Father, tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that we can just get an understanding of what it means to draw near to you. Oh, Father, we want to come close. We want to come close to your presence. Father, we want to get everything that you have for us, but it's going to take us to boldly receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.